You're listening to the Faith Roots audio podcast with Pastor Willie George. You can watch the full video version of this episode and join the conversation with your comments on the Faith Roots YouTube channel. Simply search Faith Roots on YouTube and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Now, here's Pastor Willie George with today's message.
Welcome to this edition of the Faith Roots podcast. This is episode 15 of Turning Curses into Blessing, and our text for this whole series is Nehemiah 13:2. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. That's the theme that we've been following, and we're seeing that everywhere we go in Scripture, this story repeats itself. So let's get into another one. This is going to be the last one we're going to study in the Old Testament. I'm not saying there aren't more, because there are. But this is the last major one that we're going to look at in the Old Testament. Then we're going to go to the New Testament in our next five. The king of Persia is a guy named Ahasuerus, and he was displeased with his wife Vashti. He had ordered her to come and show her beauty to the people. A number of different interpretations as to what that may have meant, but at any rate, she refused to come. And so his advisors said, you can't let her do this to you in front of all the kingdom. You got to look for a new woman and depose Vashti. So she was deposed. And so they had a beauty contest. And the young girl who is found to replace the queen, who is brought into the harem, is a young Jewish girl named Hadassah. However, they named her Esther so she would blend in with the Gentile population. In other words, her sponsor, her cousin, Mordecai, who was her guardian, said, don't tell anybody that you're Jewish. And so it so happened that he lived and worked with the king, and so he was in a wonderful place to be able to communicate with her discreetly and to check on her from time to time. And he lived and worked in the court of the king. At the same time, there was another guy in the court that the king really liked, and his name was Haman. Haman is called an Agagite, and he's not just an ordinary Amalekite, but he's of the lineage of the king. Now, let me explain who these people are. They're descended from Esau, and they're a small break-off tribe that descended from Esau, and they absolutely hated the Jewish people. And when Moses and the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, they would do guerrilla raids on the people of Israel, no open fights, man against man. They would go after the children and the older people who were in the rear of the columns. It was a really cowardly ambush type of thing that they did. And they did this without provocation. There was no reason for them to do this. Their lands were not threatened. They were not threatened. They did these fights and so and these raids. So they were ordered and marked for death. And during the time of King Saul, Samuel the prophet gave him an order from God, go wipe these people out. And the reason is they had a culture of murder, and it just lived on the border, and it was going to keep happening. And so Saul went down and conquered them, took their stuff, and God told him, don't take the stuff. And there's a reason for that. God wanted it known that when these people were destroyed, it had nothing to do with getting their stuff. It would make it look like they're stealing. He didn't want Israel to have that appearance. He wanted this to be a very clear-cut case of judgment. In other words, these people needed to be destroyed because they were so evil. Saul didn't do it and save the king alive and allowed a number of other people to escape. And so the Amalekites were never put away, and it was Saul who had the responsibility. Now, this guy Haman hated a Jew who was in the court, who happened to be Mordecai. Mordecai, because of Haman's ethnicity and because of the kind of person that he was, refused to bow to him. And it's interesting that Mordecai is of the house of Saul and of the house of Benjamin and of the house of Kish. In other words, Saul is his ancestor, and he should have dealt with this. Mordecai wouldn't have to deal with it. And now Mordecai is going to have to deal with this because Saul would not. Well, Haman schemed and got approval from the king to have all of the people in the empire rise up on the 13th day of Adar. And this is the day that was picked by the occultists. So they used occult practice to pick the best day to destroy all the Jews. And he convinced the king that the Jews were vermin, they were subhuman, they needed to be dealt with, and they're going to be taken and killed on the 13th day of Adar. And the king was really not careful in all of this. He wanted to do Haman a favor. He didn't think about it, and he had no idea that his favorite wife, Esther, Hadassah, Jewish name, had no idea that this is her people. And so this plot is advancing. And so Haman is doing all of this stuff and thinks he's going to succeed. So Mordecai goes to Esther and says, you've got to do something. And he said, don't think that because you're in the palace that you're going to be spared. The king, if this goes off, the king will see that you're dead too. And so she said, you pray for me. And she and her maidens, they fasted before Esther did what she did. Even though he was her husband, she couldn't go into the throne room and approach him unless she was invited. He had to call for her. So for her to go and approach the king is putting her life at risk. If he doesn't hold out the scepter toward her, which gives her the permission to approach, she's killed. And he had already deposed his previous wife, and he's probably super sensitive to a woman who is defiant toward him. And so here comes Esther without permission, but the king sees her, and God gives her favor, and he extends the scepter and lets her come. She comes in with a setup. It is not a quick setup. It is not a quick deliverance. It's going to take some time. But she invites the king to a banquet. And she not only invites the king to a banquet, but she invites him to bring Haman as well. Well, Haman hears this and he thinks, man, this is amazing. Haman doesn't know that she's a Jew. And he doesn't know that God's working behind the scenes. In fact, the whole book of Esther is written without the name of God in it, except on four occasions through an acrostic. So it's hidden. And the idea here is that God's at work in Israel. Even when people don't see it, he's at work. And he's always working behind the scenes. And so, anyway, God was using Esther to set the trap for Haman. Well, the night before all of this happens, the king can't sleep. And he is just really troubled because he's not able to sleep. And let me read it to you. Esther 6, that night the king couldn't sleep, so one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, that the doorkeepers who had sought to lay hands on the king. So they were going to kill him. They were going to assassinate the king, and Mordecai found out about it and alerted the king. So the king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? And the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. So the king says, well, who's in the court? Well, the only person present in the court is Haman. He gets there early the next morning. And so the king brings Haman in and says, Haman, what do you think? What should be done for the man that the king delights to honor? Well, Haman is thinking, oh, boy, he's going to do this for me. So Haman answered the king, verse 7, Esther 6, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, and a royal crest which is placed on his head. Let this robe and this horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Not only does this guy get the robe and the horse, but the noble prince has to dress the man and put the robe on him and get the horse ready and then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king, this is hilarious, verse 10, then the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you've suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you've spoken. Oh man, you talk about humiliation. So here Haman has schemed with his occultist friends to have all of the Jews killed. He's gotten permission already from the king to get this done, and he isn't banking on the fact that the king's not paying attention to details. He himself said it's Mordecai the Jew. He's already given the command that the Jews can be destroyed on a certain day, and he's not putting two and two together. This is a guy who was not attentive to the smallest details. And so now Haman has to go out, put the robe on Mordecai, put him on the horse, and run before him through the whole city. And he knows already, and his own family knows, you're doomed. And so they have the banquet. And while the banquet is going on, and Esther is feeding Haman, and she's feeding her husband, the king Ahasuerus, and then she lays a charge before the king. And she said, King, there's a man in our kingdom who's going to kill me and my people. Well, the king is incensed. Who is it? And she says, him. And Haman is sitting right there. And she gives the details. And the king is so ticked off, he can't even sit. He gets up and he walks away. And Haman is absolutely desperate. I mean, he is so fearful. Now, Esther is reclining on a couch, and while the king is outside, Haman becomes so desperate, he runs over to Esther on the couch and falls over her, and it looks like he's trying to assault her, and that's when the king comes back in, and he really becomes livid. He orders Haman to be slain on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai. Not only that, but all of Haman's 10 sons were slain on the same gallows. They were hung as well. Now, these Persian and Median kings could not reverse an order once they had given it. That was the way their constitution was written. But they could issue another order to somehow offset it. And so, you know, you think about this and you think, well, why can't he just change his mind? Well, he can't because he's supposed to be a god. And he's a very inattentive god, but he's supposed to be a god. So he can't admit that he made a mistake. So he's got to follow through on this and let this sentence be carried out and let the Jews be killed. But he issues another order on the 13th of Adar, let it be that the Jews defend themselves, which now the curse is flipped and turned into a blessing. Because on that day, there were some people who rose up against the Jews in all the different cities and tried to kill them. They had it in their hearts to murder the people of God. And they came out from behind their hiding. They came out into the open. And now it's very clear who they were. And the Jews had authority to defend themselves, and they slaughtered them and got rid of them all. And so that day that was designed by the devil and by Haman to kill the people of God was flipped because God takes curses and he turns them into blessings. We'll stop here. I'll see you next week. I want to thank you for watching our podcast today. And if you really liked it, would you please give us a little thumbs up by clicking on that sign down below? And then I would encourage you to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss any of our future podcasts, because they're all going to be good. And if you would like to support us financially, either with a one-time gift or recurring gift, you can do that by clicking on the link below or going to myfaithroots.com. Thank you so much for watching this program.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. Ratings and reviews help us reach more people, so take a moment to leave a review on your podcast app and consider sharing an episode with a friend or family member that needs to be built up and encouraged in the Lord today. Thank you for listening.